I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Ray Bolger there from The Wizard of Oz, and a song performed by one of the 20th century's most iconic agrarian figures, the Scarecrow. Nowadays, you're more likely to see a porchside scarecrow on Halloween than you are to see one towering over a cornfield. But these lonesome figures have a long history steeped in folklore and the occult, which has been mostly forgotten. Here to share some of it with us is Lori Rotenberg, who wrote the article, Hey Man, H-A-Y, of course, The Curious Life and Times of Scarecrows from Modern Farmer. Lori, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
And nice to speak with you again. Thank you.
So you trace the roots of the modern scarecrow. When did it first appear?
We can go back really almost to the beginning of time, not of cavemen, of course, but just thousands of years ago when agrarian life really began on small plots. People would put things up to, you know, frighten birds away. And then actually the first scarecrows were children, and they would put them in the fields to either hit blocks of wood together or throw stones, and that was, you know, their job. But then again, farms weren't as large as they are now, and they would have been more small plots for basic sustenance, you know, daily food. So that's how it is thought it began, and then it progressed to where they would put adults out there.
Well, now, of course, we don't pay people to stay out on the fields all day. How about that sort of, you know, the straw image, the Wizard of Oz image? When did that first appear?
That started more likely in England, probably in the 1700s or 1800s, with wheat farmers, where they would use, again, putting something out in the field, you know, to scare wildlife or crows away, and using props from the land, you know, using hay, twigs, and things like that. But there was never specifically scarecrows that looked like what we have at Halloween. That sort of became a commercial idea of them. Farmers always used what was available, and sometimes they would put a rotting piece of fruit, a rotting pumpkin, a squash as the head, you know, an old hat that they would find, anything that they could salvage from the farm to use as a prop. So it could vary from anything. But if there were hay around, that would be something they would use, and thus the hay man.
Yes, that's our sort of modern American scarecrow. How has and does the look of scarecrows differ across cultures?
It can vary widely depending on what their cultural beliefs might be, their religious beliefs, or what they might bring to the scarecrow. And that can vary so widely. There's thoughts that long ago farmers to replicate the idea of birth and death, put the scarecrow's arms out as in a cross.
Mm-hmm, like the crucifixion.
Yeah, showing the crucifixion, right, and that it was symbolic of, you know, our seasons. You know, the things come up in the spring is when scarecrows actually do go out. They go up in the spring. They're not up in the fall, which is what we think due to Halloween, but that they could reflect that belief. They could reflect In ancient times, not to trespass, so thus serving, you know, two purposes, to scare away animals, but also humans. But across the world right now, in Japan, they use discarded heads from, you know, dolls or mannequins, and they keep those in their rice fields. They're very unusual looking. They dress them, but you have these staid, very static faces. So that's one thing out there. In England, you will still find them using, you know, more hay and fruits and vegetables.
It's so interesting, that kind of religious iconography of the crucifix. But you also found some, you also traced some of the scarecrow's roots to the occult. How's that?
Well, that is, it comes from history again, and then from websites that study scarecrows. There's a lot of actually underground fans of scarecrows. And the idea of imagery was that they were used to kind of ward off people, but that it could be, you know, Vlad the Impaler. There's Odin and his ravens. They took things out of history, out of Greek mythology. So there's Priapus, a lot of gods of agriculture and fertility were placed in fields for pollination and things like that. So it's all symbolic. There's no really specific time or place when certain things took on a particular look. That's what's so difficult about this, is that it's just such a blend of what might be in a culture at a certain time, or what beliefs stayed within a culture.
So it sounds deeply symbolic. Do they actually work? Do they keep crows away?
They did a long time ago because the fields were smaller and, you know, birds had a fear of humans. But in speaking with the people at Cornell, you know, at the ornithology lab, they said birds have become very used to seeing humans, and especially crows, that they're really not afraid of them anymore, and they're so intelligent that they can discern a scarecrow or a still object from a human being.
Yeah, I remember speaking to somebody at the lab saying that they can actually discern individual human faces.
Yes, and you know that's very true. So a lot of it is still symbolic, but you will find younger farmers across the country still using the scarecrow. They don't want to use pesticides. They don't want to use something that's mechanical. You know, they'll build one every year and bring it out.
What about on the big mega farms that dot the countryside in the U.S.?
They're starting to use more electronic scarecrows, sound devices, vibrating devices. You know, like we have dog fences now. There are things that are similar to that. They make noise that we can't always hear that frighten the birds off.
It's so interesting. It feels like our popular image of scarecrows is having somewhat of an identity crisis. You know, we have the cheerful, almost clown-like cousins of the scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz, while others are much more macabre. Are you seeing that too, Lori?
Yes, and again, it's a reflection of thought, culture, where we are, and of art. You know, there's the gentleman I wrote about in Pennsylvania, I think he's in Bucks County, and he goes by the name of Pumpkin Rot, and he makes very dark looking figures out of things that he finds, twigs, leaves, moss. And for him, it's just an expression of what he thinks scarecrows represent, and it's the loneliness in the field, you know, being the only one out there in the seasons, and thus, you know, this is enhanced and brought out through his work. So it's all a bit of art also, and where people might be or what they're trying to express, or maybe their internal demons.
Lori, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you, and have a good day, okay?
Yes, of course.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Lori Rotenberg, a Chicago-based journalist who wrote the article, Hey Man, The Curious Life and Times of Scarecrows for Modern Farmer. There's a link to read it and see some of these amazing images yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.